Welcome to Mattis Avenue Free Methodist Church, where we worship God, make disciples of Jesus Christ, and serve our community and world. The following is a recorded message based on God's holy word. We would love to see you for our worship services on Sunday mornings. For more information, visit www.mattisav.org or call 217-355-5947. And may God bless you.
Good morning, Mattis Avenue family. Special thank you, Pastor Wick, Sarah, and all of you for the very warm welcome this weekend. Special thanks to Brownie, Ron, and their team. Thanks to Jeffrey, Shelley, so many of you helped make this possible. We had a wonderful time with the families yesterday, and we are so happy to be with you and to share what God is doing in Latin America. I wanted to say a special thanks, too, to the worship team. Loved being drawn to the throne with you, and also to the choir. That was powerful. The tomb is empty now. You could just feel that in the alleluia at the end. So thank you very much. And thank you as a congregation for your wonderful, faithful prayers over the years, for your faithful support, which is helping adults, teens, and boys and girls come to know the Lord Jesus and be transformed by his love. We are so grateful to have you as partners. Come and talk to us after the service. Leo's English is great. He would love to talk to you. He is not only, and the people who were here yesterday will get this, not only master chef and messy, but he is also a small business owner with his twin in Chile. And right now he's been working remotely on that some. With the heating and air and pest control business, but also he's a wonderful entrepreneur and is figuring out how to use those skills to help other small business owners in Latin America. So that is really wonderful, and he would enjoy speaking with you. The whole family's here this weekend. Sophia, she is 14 and in eighth grade. She likes playing guitar, singing, loves reading, hanging with her friends. And Ben, 13, is in seventh. He's all about soccer, ping pong, Catan, and Xbox, of course. We are all together part of the big Free Methodist family around the world. Jesus' final instructions for us, we've just experienced Easter and are thinking about those days afterwards, are found in Matthew 28:19. Go into all the world. And it's a command for all of us. As you partner and pray with me, Mattis Avenue, we go together to Central and South America. That's the lower portion of the red on the map that you see up there, which we refer to as Latin America, in helping complete the Great Commission. Our Free Methodist Church is in 17 countries in Central and South America, stretching from Mexico all the way down to the bottom, the end of the earth where Chile and Argentina are. For now, we're based out of Indianapolis, and between Indianapolis and Santiago, Chile, the long red country there at the bottom, are our home bases. Well, when I started, most missionaries were working locally in Latin America, plugging in. For me, it was kind of like these two gear shifts here. But about 12 years ago, as a team, we started really pouring into national leaders, our brothers and sisters in each of the countries. And it started to feel, the word poised came to me, ready or prepared for something big. And today, our razor-sharp focus in Latin America is on developing healthy leaders, multiplying disciples, groups, and churches, and empowering holistic transformation. We're doing these three things not only on the adult level, but on the teen level, and now more than ever at the child level. The Free Methodist Church in Latin America now seems more like this big, beautiful, whole set of gears working together in very fruitful unison, where addition has really become multiplication. Praise the Lord. What a privilege it was to be at the Free Methodist Leadership Summit in Colombia in February of this year with this amazing team of leaders and our area director, Dr. Ricardo Gomez. And so celebrate some of those stats that you can see up there. 1,190 houses of peace. These are groups, people who do not know the Lord personally yet, who are meeting in houses, inviting their friends and neighbors in. 2,347 baptisms, over 9,000 being discipled, over 10,000 being trained in discipleship, 500 or more in leadership development, and prayer cells. These are different groups of prayer praying specifically for different ministries, 70 of those going on. And so we praise the Lord for all that is happening in Latin America. Well, there were 60 leaders from all 17 countries present at this summit. Men, women, young people, and older adults. It was a powerful week of celebrating all God is doing. We learned together, planned together, fellowshipped, encouraged, and are seeking and yearning to depend fully on the Holy Spirit. I was very excited to be able to share about Raíces, which Pastor Wick mentioned. In English, that would be Roots, our new curriculum for children, and our first ever Free Methodist curriculum, and to give these leaders a chance to try out different unique components of the material. After the pandemic years of not being able to travel, it is such a privilege to meet in person. But one benefit from COVID during those COVID days was we discovered how very connected we can be over Zoom. And that's been very helpful for our teams throughout the continent. Your and my ministry is at the continent level. Most of my week is spent remotely on Zoom call after Zoom call, ask my family, with teams spanning those 17 countries and four different time zones. At the beginning of this year, a co-worker of mine, Jasmine from Mexico, she exclaimed on one of our calls, "I am really hopeful in God for 2024. Her word hopeful caught my attention. And I wondered, I didn't ask her, but I wondered, is she wishing for good things this year? Is she being really optimistic? Is she confident in what she wants in 2024? Well, the next day, a devotional appeared in my inbox with the title, Grow Your Hope. I love that. I want that. I want what is in this picture. Amid all the cement, there's that sprout of hope growing up. A sprout of hope coming out of all that hard cement around. This morning, we heard that we're in the third Sunday of Resurrection. I love that, Pastor Wick. I hope you'll keep going to get to the 52nd Sunday of Resurrection. But what is hope anyway? What most people mean by hope, I think, is wishful hope. It's a feeling. It's something you really don't have control over. I hope the light turns green. Then there's expectant hope. There's a stronger chance for your desire to come true with expectant hope. And it's based in some reality. I hope my tomatoes grow this year. I'm planting them, I'm watering, I'm taking care of them, but we're not sure that's going to happen or not. We can't build our life on wishful or expectant hope. What we need is certain hope, or we could say resurrection hope. We need God's hope, the kind of hope you can actually anchor your soul on. While Webster might say that hope is to wish for, to want something good to happen, the hope of the Bible is, I love this, the confident expectation that God will do what he says he will do. Do you realize there are over 7,000 promises in the Bible? And God is going to keep every one of those. He's faithful. His word is reliable. It's real. We can count on him today, tomorrow, in all of 2024. I think that's what Jasmine meant when she said she's hopeful in 2024. We need hope. We need hope in good times, and we need hope in hard times. I love Hebrews 6:19. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. No doubt, no uncertainty, no what ifs. No, what if God leaves me? What if God's not with me? No, his promise is, I will never leave you. And look at what this hope is there towards the end. It's strong. It's sturdy, stable, unchanging. It's trustworthy, dependable, and reliable. It's an anchor. I like that word picture, anchor. The purpose of an anchor is to keep the ship from drifting and to add stability in the storm. We need an anchor for the same reasons. It's so easy to drift, isn't it? So easy to drift away from God. It's easy to drift away from your goals. It's easy to drift away from people you love. In Job 8:13, we're reminded that those who forget God really have no hope. So in the storm, what is our anchor? A lot of times we look everywhere else for the anchor, don't we? In vices, entertainment, in a relationship, in a new job. We need hope in God, friends. Real hope that's based on God's word, not on my emotions, my feelings at the moment, what I sense. Certain hope is based on God who cannot lie. We get so impatient and often we insist on our own way, but God is not a vending machine. He is so much more interested in growing our hope and our trust and our faith in him, and that's what he's doing in these times. Luke 18:1 says, always pray and never lose hope. That's a very simple verse. We could memorize it even today, couldn't we? And we could put it into practice this week because we have choices. All of us are going to probably encounter situations where we could panic. So are we going to panic or are we going to pray? Are we going to worry or are we going to worship? It's easy to fall into that panic and worry mode. It's easy to feel hopeless. So let's consider this morning. What are the top 10 causes of hopelessness? Do you see yourself in here? As we read through these, let's see what you think. I do find myself in some of these. Feel alone or abandoned. Life seems out of control. You don't see a purpose. You're grieving a loss. You don't have what you need. You've done something wrong. You're deeply wounded by someone. You're pulled in the wrong direction. You're hounded by fear when it looks like defeat. Can you find yourself in there? Pastor Rick Warren suggests that there is an antidote to hopelessness that is found, curiously, in the Lord's Prayer. This has meant so much to me in these recent weeks since I found out about this that I really wanted to share it with you today. The Lord's Prayer is deceptively simple. I would say oftentimes we say the Lord's Prayer, but do we pray the Lord's Prayer? If we just understood the depth of every single one of those phrases that our Lord taught us, our prayers would be deep as we pray the Lord's Prayer. Well, we find reasons for hope right in the Lord's Prayer. So let's look at these phrases. Our Father who art in heaven, if you feel alone or abandoned, you can know that your loving Father will never abandon you. It was radical in Jesus' day for him to say our Father because that implies something up close, personal, loving. In that phrase, we have assurance that we're his children. He is our Father. Hallowed be thy name. When life seems out of control, we can remember that there is absolute power in the name of Jesus. God's power is greater than any of our problems. Thy kingdom come. When it seems like there's no purpose for what I'm going through, let's remember Romans 8:28. God fits everything into his plan, and his plan is his kingdom. I love that Waymaker song. I bet you guys still sing it sometimes, reminding us that even when we don't feel it or see it, he is working. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Are you grieving a loss? God has purpose even in those things that we don't understand. Lord, help us to surrender even when we're not understanding those losses. Give us this day our daily bread. When you don't feel you have what you need, let's pray to our Father who knows us, who loves us, and we can depend on him because he's promised to meet all of our needs according to his will. And forgive us our trespasses. The weight of guilt and shame can be unbearable sometimes, but Jesus took our punishment. We can be free from sin. That is huge. And as we forgive those who trespass against us, when we're deeply wounded by someone, let's remember those hard-to-swallow words in Romans 12:19. Don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. I will do the judging, says God. I will take care of it. God will settle the score someday. He's just told us in the meantime to forgive. Lead us not into temptation. When we're pulled in the wrong direction, we have 1 Corinthians 10:13. When you're tempted, he will show you a way out so you can endure. God has promised to help us even with strong temptation. But deliver us from evil when fear is gripping you. 1 John 4:4 to the rescue. God, greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. Jesus in me is greater than any other power. And for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. When it looks like defeat, we can know that this is not the end of the story. We have heaven coming where there's going to be no more tears, no more sadness or sorrow. So let's take a moment this morning. Let's not say the Lord's Prayer. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer. Let some of those things we've just heard flow over you as you pray this with me this morning, please. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's take active, intentional steps to grow our hope in Jesus, friends. Personally, in our own lives, it's going to take intention and it's going to take some discipline, isn't it? Let's grow hope in our families. Let's grow hope, more hope in our church, in our community. Our world needs hope. It's mission possible. I think you guys are on to something. It's not mission impossible. It's mission possible. So from megacities to pueblos in Latin America, we are doing that by partnering together, you in prayer and with your very valuable and appreciated financial support, and me going physically and virtually to reach one by one all the 188 million children and adolescents in Latin America who need hope, who need an anchor, who need deep, healthy, spiritual roots in the Lord Jesus. In Matthew 18:14, we read, "It is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that even one of these little ones should perish." So we're doing this in three very significant ways in Latin America. One, ICCM, International Child Care Ministries, our Free Methodist sponsorship program. Also through the harbor, you'll see below that, in Buenos Aires, Argentina, where higher education is free, we have a student house where high school grads from all over Latin America can come to study and to help church plant and develop leadership skills that they will take back to their own countries. I'm very excited about the harbor. And Raíces, Roots, our first ever Spanish curriculum for children, helping them experience transformation at a young age and grow very deep roots in the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's take a quick look at ICCM. At General Conference, we had the opportunity to meet together all of our regional coordinators with our global director, Reverend Alma Thompson. And we rejoice together in the absolute difference a sponsorship makes in a child's life, spiritually, physically, academically, and socio-emotionally. If you are interested in sponsoring a child, please see me afterwards. We'll get you connected up with that. Well, 2 years ago, God answered a prayer that had been on my heart for a long time. I was needing an assistant. It's a huge job, too big for one person. And so, if you were at family camp last year, you might have met Sara Moreno. She's a wonderfully gifted and godly young woman who loves Jesus, loves children, and she's a whiz at technology. It's been the goal all along to mentor her into the ICCM regional coordinator position. And so, friends, it's coming to fruition. Soon, if all goes according to plan, I'll be able to work more specifically with our schools that we have around Latin America as Sarah assumes the big responsibility of regional coordinator for ICCM. ICCM is in 10 countries in Latin America, and Sarah and I work with this amazing group of national coordinators with all of their teams. I took this photo in Chile about 15 or more years ago. These boys and girls I know, And they grew up with sponsors who loved and supported them and gave them hope. And today they are young adults serving in their churches, working in the fields of education, business, medicine, and more. Eric and Maka might recognize some of those people up there. Valentina in Ecuador was a sponsored child. She's now assistant national coordinator for Ecuador. Praise the Lord. She's happily passing along the blessing. She's passing it forward to next generations of kids. Did you know there's a window of time in a child's life when they are most receptive, most open, and most able to hear God's truth and believe Him and accept Him as Savior and Lord? That window, that tiny window, is between the ages of 4 and 14, which is why our spiritual component is so vital and important. In the U.S., we have so many options of curriculum, we can't even decide which one to get, can we? But not so in Latin America. We've scrambled for decades trying to use the little material there is, making up our own, or just resigning to just babysitting the kids. But enter Roots, or Raices. Christy Kessinger, the children's pastor at Greenville Free Methodist Church, was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write a unique and transformative curriculum for our denomination, helping children really get to know God and focusing on prayer, the Word, and listening to the Holy Spirit. So I have the privilege of leading this amazing team of Latin leaders and missionaries in adapting, contextualizing, translating, enhancing, training, and mentoring. We're 3 years down the road, and gloria a Dios, glory to God, Raices is being used in 15 countries. 906 children's workers and helpers have been trained in person, and there are now more than 1,500 children participating and being transformed by God. And remember Sarah, my assistant? At her church in Colombia, Chia, Colombia, there were two girls from the neighborhood that started coming to Raices. To tell you the truth, they were rude, disrespectful, disruptive, but Sarah tells me that over the course of a year, the Holy Spirit has been transforming them. They are completely different girls now. They accepted the Lord Jesus, and last week they learned about baptism, and immediately they wanted to be baptized. The pastor told him that he would be having a baptism in the summer. Now, summer down there would be like in the months of December, January, and February. And the two girls said, "We don't want to wait for summer." So the pastor made it happen. They found a pool, put it in the church, and they are in drought right now. And so all they had was a little trickle of water coming in. The congregation got behind these two girls' decision and desire to be baptized. And watch how they made this happen. They formed a big, long line. It winds up around the staircase to get to that little trickle of water. And bucket by bucket, they filled up that pool to baptize Kimberly, who's 14, Ashley, who's 12. And can you imagine the rejoicing in heaven that was going on during that time? It gives me goosebumps. Praise the Lord for their salvation. Well, teachers from Mexico to Chile and Argentina are flocking to trainings. They're eager to have quality, dynamic, transformative ways to reach children. We're doing everything we can to raise funds to complete the four-year curriculum and continue mentoring all these people. So pray with us for the deep spiritual growth in our schools. This one's in Nicaragua. Pray for kids in our churches, kids clubs, house churches, and neighborhoods, bringing hope, certain, real, resurrection, eternal hope to boys and girls all across Latin America. Aren't you glad to be a part of something big? I hope you feel that this is big. It's big. I sure am. And I'm glad to be on God's team, a winning team, a hope-filled team. So thank you, Mattis Avenue. We're in this together. I can't do my part without you. Blessings in all of your local and global investments for eternity. Thank you for letting Latin America be one of those. Dios les bendiga. Amen. And I believe Pastor Wick was wanting to come up. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kay. I'm not going to let you go too far because I want to actually bring you, and if I can embarrass your family for just a moment, I can do this because I know missionary families love to be embarrassed. My kids always really enjoyed it. But I want to give us a chance right. to pray over Kay and pray over the family, because it's, I know that she's the primary one doing a lot of it, but you're, as I saw yesterday, it's a group, it's a family
effort.
Yeah. And if anybody would, I'd love our staff and anybody who would want to just come and lay hands as we pray together over them, but also through them over the ministry throughout all of Latin America. I invite you to come at this point, and then we'll sing a song together as we celebrate the resurrection. But come forward. Let's pray over them. If I could just get two people to pray and then I'll close us, that'd be great.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Father, for what you're doing in America.
Yeah.
And what you're doing in our lives as well. We pray for this family, God, that your Holy Spirit would guide and lead them, give them wisdom and insight. Just bless the work of their hands, bless the work of the churches, that these children who are learning your word and praying and growing their faith, we thank you for what you're doing now, what you'll also be doing in the future. We give you thanks and pray.
Lord, we are so thankful. We know that over two decades ago, many wouldn't have imagined how you have used and continue to use Kay and the work that they're doing throughout Latin America. And we know that two decades from now, we can't even begin to imagine the ways that you are at work in homes and in communities. And God, we pray for the Raices, for all the ministry happening through the curriculum, both through the roots and through the seeds that are being planted, through the fruit that it's bearing. Jesus, that you would bless each of these cycles of the curriculum they're putting out. God, we pray your blessing on the ICCM ministries. We pray for Sarah as she's being raised up. We pray for Kay as she's in the transition of that leadership. God, that you would help that to be a smooth transition and that it would continue to be a blessing into not just the lives of the children today, but for their children, for their grandchildren, for the communities they're involved in. God, that you would bring generational change by the power of the Holy Spirit as your Spirit brings freedom and release and new creation life. And God, we pray for Kay as she then is able to partner with the schools and partner with new opportunities as doors open for your work to continue in ways we can't even begin to imagine. God, take these things and make them yours in ways that would just continue to inspire us to say, hallelujah, the tomb is empty because he is active everywhere in our world, Jesus. We love you and we worship you. We pray all these things and God's people say, amen, amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Would you stand together as we continue to worship and we declare that our hope is not in curriculum. Our hope is not in even in these children that are going to be transformed. Our hope is in the Lord. Let's worship him together as we close.